Kia ora tātou, nau mai, haere mai, welcome to Whiti Whiti Short, Sharp, Sweet Kōrero from Amazing Uri from Te Hiku, as well as Te Tai Tokero and the rest of the world. We're really privileged tonight to be able to host Ripika Evans, the Deputy Chair of Tuku Tonu, the Ngāpuhi Investment Fund. Tēnā koe, Ripika, welcome. All our whānau. Kia ora to all our whānau that have tuned in tonight. It's really awesome to have you here. Sorry, we've got a little bit of a lag. Aroha mai. So, kia ora, Ripika. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with the Tupu Tonu Investment Fund?
Kia ora. Tēnā koutou te whānau, nō te haukainga. He uri a hau nō Ngāpuhi te upauri Ngāti Kahu, Ngāti Porau, engari. I tupu mai a hau i roto i te heartland o Ngāpuhi, kei kaikohe, engari e mahi a hau kei Pōneke i tēnei wā. And I'm the Deputy Chair of Tupu Tonu, which is our trading name for the Ngāpuhi Investment Fund. And importantly, the trading name, I guess, signifies what the key purpose of the fund is to grow assets that we might purchase for and on behalf of the Crown to be used in the Ngāpuhi settlement.
So it's quite significant because the government have put forward a capital injection of $150 million. It's not a small amount. Some people will moan about it and say it's not enough, but it's a good start. Can you tell us about what it is that the government are actually trying to achieve with this particular fund?
Well, it's pretty simple, really. We've got to establish ourselves as a bona fide investment fund. And it's a fund that's been established so that the Crown can offer eventually a bunch of assets that Ngāpuhi might wish to purchase or use as part of the commercial redress process for the settlement of the Ngāpuhi claims. It's starting anew, and it's a new start really for that aspect of Ngāpuhi's settlement, the commercial side of the settlement, and it's a new beginning in that way. The Crown was always going to do, and Ngāpuhi, I guess, we're always going to do our settlement differently, and this symbolises that as a new start and a different way of doing commercial redress, starting with the front foot really by putting the investment up and looking for assets that may realise not just a short-term benefit but a very long-term benefit for Ngāpuhi hapū that wish to settle with the Crown eventually.
What excites you about this fund? Like, why did you choose to be on the board?
Well, the board members are all appointed, of course, by our two shareholding ministers, Minister Little as the Minister of Treaty Negotiations, Minister Robertson, the Minister of Finance. The board members all went through a contestable process, and my choice in terms was all about timing, but also about, I guess, the value that each of the directors and that can bring to the fund. It's a fairly savvy, strong commercial backgrounds and a lot of knowledge of the Taitokera region especially. You've got people like Lindsay Faithful from Mackay Electrical. It's got one of the few $100 million plus companies in the technology sector, long-term intergenerational Ngāpuhi company, or Ngāpuhi owned company. Sarah Pedersen from as chair of Northland Inc. Sir Brian Roach, who's got a fairly expansive both treaty settlement portfolio, but across a range of government, state-owned enterprises and boards. And Jeff Taylor, who's got a core investment banking background. So getting the right mix of skills to achieve what the Crown wanted to achieve in order to be able to set, I guess, a new tone for the commercial side of Ngāpuhi settlement. And as you recall, in the last failed mandating process, the aspect of that process that was to which there was a positive response was the issue around establishing a means to getting the commercial redress underway, and this fund is that very first step. So it's an exciting opportunity for Ngāpuhi. It's not been done the same way. It does take into account the fact that there's a belief there, certainly amongst Ngāpuhi. I went to a hui in Ngāpuhi in Hokianga, the Kākahi Whakairoiro hui on the 12th of January. And at that hui, there was a really energetic collection of intergenerational leaders that are business owners, that are people that are interested in the commercial development of Ngāpuhi, so that it can act as a means to kind of accelerating and catalysing the settlement into action.
Yeah, that definitely sounds exciting. But Lipika, some of the feedback that's come through from the community, we've also got a super cool group called Tautoko Taitokero. It's a collective of entrepreneurs, Māori, different members from across our communities. And one of the core questions that kept popping up was accountability back to hapū. And so you're still in the standing up phase or building out of this investment fund. What do you foresee as a process for keeping whānau and hapū engaged in your decision-making moving forward?
Yeah, I think there's two issues there. Firstly, in terms of accountability, the fund is a Crown fund. We're appointed as directors by the Minister of Crown, so need to be clear that our accountability is to our shareholding ministers. In terms of engagement with hapū, I think we need to be clear once again too that our engagement with the hapū will be engagement more likely with commercial interests, with land, with property, with building owners. And that will be, if you like, our first line of, or our first, those will be the first organisations that we will be looking in the medium term to have some engagement with. And obviously those will be organisations that have same interests as the fund in terms of growing assets and growing the investment fund, so that it can be a fund in perpetuity that hapū can leverage to be able to purchase those assets if they want them as part of the settlement process. So, yeah, accountability is to our shareholding ministers, to make sure that we do our job, and that is basically growing the assets and growing the fund so that there's more available for hapū when they do settle.
Kia ora. And so how do whānau, or how do hapū put forward propositions or ideas for your board to consider?
We're still at the beginning stages. We're still about to meet formally as a board, and to the first thing, of course, that you'll do with any investment board is an investment strategy, an investment committee, so the kind of vital committee of in terms of governance of the board, and develop an investment strategy that gives, if you like, not just articulates, but it puts some feathers on the process of growing those assets. And that will be an important discussion, and that around the board table. Yeah. And we'll have to demonstrate, of course, to our shareholders that we're also reflecting, I guess, the not just the purpose, but the intentions of the fund in terms of not just growing the asset, but also the particular assets that we grow. We'll have no doubt some criteria established around any distribution from the fund, and it's early days now, but we've got very open minds about what and what the distribution criteria might be. We've got our website up and running, and that website, one of the first functions of the website really will be our outreach to for people to be able to engage, send questions, and also to have, once we've established the criteria and the investment strategy, that will go up on the website as well as we'll have an external stakeholder outreach as well.
Awesome. And so just a bit about you. You've been the, or you are the Deputy Chair of Toi Oho Mai in Tauranga Moana. You're also the Chair of North Tech and helping to advise the Reserve Bank on their Māori strategy and how they work with iwi Māori as well. How do you foresee that collective of that collection of experience helping you guide this really interesting journey ahead of you with Ngā Puhi?
Yeah, look, I mean, there is not just overlapping interests, there are like with like interests, particularly North Tech, but there's a huge transformation exercise happening across the whole vocational education sector, and skills and capability are part and parcel of building that kind of entrepreneurship across Ngā Puhi, building businesses that can become employers, that can employ Ngā Puhi people, land interests, property interests, all of those interests in that are at stake in terms of the mission of both of North Tech, but also Toi Oho Mai. They're industries that and sectors that are just as relevant in the Bay of Plenty as they are in Northland, particularly in primary industries and horticulture, infrastructure. Those are all sorts of businesses and entities where there are discussions happening, not just across Te Tokerau, but also across other regions. And they all need skilled workers. They all need employers. And I guess that's a critical part of the conversation when looking at investing for Ngā Puhi in terms of intergenerational investment and investment in land and resources is an investment in the future of future generations. And I think that that's one of the things that's absolutely key to the purpose of Tupu Tonu is really the idea that we must be not just the idea, but I think one of our core policies will definitely be around orienting the investment fund, developing the investment fund as an intergenerational investment, in becoming an intergenerational investor, so that in 100 years time or 1,000 years time, we have a legacy that began a small fund, grew that fund, and really re-established Ngā Puhi's footprint in its own rohe, but also established its own own footprint more globally as well. That's a very important aspect of the fund, is intergenerational investment.
Well, it's a good segue because one of the reflections that I have from the kākahi, whakaeroero wānanga, was a focus on climate change. And with Mike Smith leading the charge there and really making us think quite carefully around what's the future going to look like if we think about intergenerational, you know, we've been heavily invested in primary industries for a very long time. Perhaps there's an opportunity to shift that. But also investments that really look quite carefully at the environmental impact now and into the future. How do you think climate change may affect the way that you make your investment decisions?
It's certainly a key factor, key consideration, but, you know, without the planet, without Papatūānuku, we just simply have no land, without no any land, we don't have a basis for investment. And of course with land, it's a personification of people in any event. So without one, without the other, but without papa and without caring for papa tuanuku, and making investments that ensure that that she's cared for and that she is looked after, that we respect the fact that we want to make an investment in perpetuity. And so we have vested interest in ensuring the perpetuation of the planet, not the denigration of the planet. So that will be, we have a responsibility as a responsible investor to invest and to be take consideration of environmental factors in our investment policy, that also with that, the same goes too in terms of investing in land, investing in people. We must be mindful about climate change, but also in the same, by the same breath, we must be mindful about also how we grow our resources respectfully so that we don't diminish their value, but that also we're respectful that the planet also has limits as well.
Yeah, and it's exciting to hear that at least that's part of your thinking, and really, really important as well, because there's so many great opportunities for investment. We've got some amazing people, we've got some great businesses. Technology is slowly on the rise across the north, and there are many, many opportunities for a shift and change of focus, which I think is positive for Te Whare Tapu o Ngāpuhi, Ngāpuhi Nui Tonu. And so talking about Papa Tuanuku being our Earth Mother and our focus on wahine and the potentiality of wahine, also you've been involved in the tribunal claim, Wahine Māori tribunal claim as well. We're just going to shift focus for a moment and just get your reflections on how has that journey been for you?
Well, it's continuing. The second Tuapapa hearing began in Ngāru o Wā here in the morning from 24th to 26th. There'll be a third hearing as well in at Te Ringa Parawa Marae in July the 12th to the 16th this year. So these hearings are continuing, as any claim, as you'll be aware, with any claim. There'll be five tuapapa hearings this year. And those hearings are really about laying the foundation for the way that we want the tribunal to be able to think about and reframe how they might perceive not just the cause of cause, but also the effect and the impact. Things like the significance of, which I spoke about in my brief, the significance of the acts of colonisation, particularly with the when Busby and his men denied Māori women the right to sign the treaty, but 13 Māori women nevertheless signed them. And I've coined them as our founding mothers. But that single act of aggression on the part of the Crown was symptomatic of what then flowed and what followed later. In terms of the land wars, the disenfranchisement of Māori women in terms of landowning interests, disenfranchisement of Māori women in terms of voting rights, the disenfranchisement of Māori women in terms of rights that were guaranteed not just with the treaty, but also confirmed before that, actually, with a precursor to the treaty, was, of course, the whakaputanga. A question I had in my mind was, how come women like Anahamu, whose husband, who signed the treaty, and her husband signed the treaty, also trying the whakaputanga, and my question is, how many of our women also signed the whakaputanga? And yeah, that's a part of the journey, but the real journey is about the Mana Wahine inquiry is comprised of 160 different claims that connect with the kaupapa of the mana of our women, and those 160 claimants will be heard over the next five hearings. But then we go into a stage of looking at both what the breach comprised and then what remedies Māori women are wanting in regard to the allegations that are made against the Crown around breach of the treaty, which is fundamental, of course, any treaty claim. So, yeah, it's pretty expensive. It will run for the next couple of years, if not more. And we're hopeful of seeing a remedy, as I said at the beginning of the Mana Wahine claim in Kerikeri on the 3rd of February, that I really wish that two claims that I'm involved with, both the Mana Wahine claim and Y2260, Ngāpuhi Taitokera woman's claim, that I hope to see both settled in my lifetime in the next 5 years or so. That would be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool. And thank you so much for putting this claim through with other amazing wahine as well. And what a great role you play in straddling these really interesting worlds of economic development, whānau hapū development, investment, and then also pleading the case to the Crown for their breaches against wahine Māori since they came here. So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Deepika. It was a real privilege to have you. I'm certain our whānau that are watching, first and foremost, are really interested in the fund. And so I've put forward the link, E Huama. So if you're interested in knowing more about Tupu Tonu, the website's there. There is also an opportunity for you to pose questions, as Deepika mentioned earlier. If you've got ideas for investment or you've got ideas that you want for them to at least consider, that's a pathway for you to utilise. And also more information about how the fund was established and its particular brief and scope. I think that's really important, whānau, that it has a particular brief and scope and it is designed for a specific purpose. But we do hope that in the end it's going to be beneficial for our hapū and to help grow wealth in perpetuity, as you said. So Māori ora, thank you for coming to join us. Deepika, do you have any final words that you'd like to share with the whānau before we sign off for tonight?
Kia mau tonu mai, just bring forward your great ideas. We want to connect, but we want to get up running, do our job really well. But most importantly, do our job so that hapū can be still hapū in the next 100 years' time. And I think that kind of growth, perpetuity, prosperity aspect of the fund is something that I think that Ngāpuhi once had. And our firm belief that we can, with the fund, make a start for Ngāpuhi to regain reclaim its own footprint economically across Taitokera, but globally as well.
Awesome. Māori ora, kia koe. E te whānau, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Haukainga Whiti Whiti. We will be back again next week and we will keep you posted on what our kaupapa is going to be. So thank you for joining us. Kia ora, Deepika. Māori ora, whānau. Good night. We'll see you next week. Bye.